Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Abba, in the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, I come before you, Abba, bowing the knees of my heart and beseeching you, Abba, to please forgive me for the sin that I have committed against you, knowingly, unknowingly. Cleanse me by the blood of Yahushua, of my iniquity, that I may be worthy, Abba, to stand before you, stand before your people, to minister your word according to your divine will. And I pray, Abba, that you forgive me for any offense that I may have committed against my brothers or my sisters, intentionally or unintentionally. And I pray, Abba, if there has been any offense, that it be brought to my attention, that I may apologize specifically for whatever it is that I may have done. And I ask you, Abba, on behalf of your people, far and near, to forgive each and every one of us, Abba, for the sin that causes your face to be hidden, and to cleanse every one of us, Abba, by that precious blood of Yahshua. Abba, as we are preparing to receive your Pesach offering throughout the course of this week, to be ready to accept your Son as our Savior, as our Redeemer, once again, to renew the agreement that we make with you from day to day. Father, I pray for those who are suffering physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, that you heal us, Abba, that you help us to see our way through any difficulty that we are facing in our lives, Abba. Give us the strength that we need by your word, that we may all endure to the end. We pray, Abba, for Ema Devora, that you continue healing her during her recovery. We pray for Mure Dewal, that you continue healing him through his recovery. We pray for Mure Sheba'a, who was having issues with his wrist recently, Abba, that you heal him. And if there be anyone that I missed that is suffering physically, mentally, emotionally, Abba, I ask that you heal us all and open our hearts, open our minds throughout the course of this year, that we may receive your word. And I pray, Abba, that you speak through your Mure, those who are far, those who are near, that we all, wherever we are, strive to bring forth the truth of your word above all things. I ask these things humbly and sincerely in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior and our Redeemer. Praise, glory, and honor be to your holy and to your most precious name. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses Torah, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. And welcome to Bina Torah, Understanding Torah. How many of you, in the hearing of my voice, have accepted Yahushua HaMashiach as your Savior and your Redeemer? And before I get into the lesson today, I really do want to apologize to each of you if there be any offense that I have personally committed against you. I ask that you forgive me. And if there be any personal offense, I ask that you bring it to my attention, so that I can apologize in person and for the specific offense that I may have committed according to the word. Because just like you all, Just like you all, I too want to be in that kingdom. I too want to right my wrongs. And I pray that each of you do the same. As Abba will. He gave Israel a choice, you know. But in giving that choice of the blessing and the curse, life and death, he commands us to choose life. My prayer for each of you is that you all choose life. Choose life. Because as time continues, as we look at the landscape of the events that are happening in our world, things are not going to get better. Things have progressively gotten worse and shall gradually get worse over time. So we individuals need to solidify our personal relationship with Yahusha if we haven't already. And even if we have, we have to be on guard, as we often say, guard your gates. You know, I listen to the Mure, and I hear a lot of encouragement in their teachings, and I hear a lot of growth in their teachings. And I'm sure for those who have been walking with Bet Yahweh, at least for some time now, you too can hear the growth. You too are witnessing what the word teaches. And it brings a joy to my heart, even though I too am a man, just like each of you, brings a joy to my heart to hear when my brothers are dispensing the word, and to hear how they are allowing the Creator to move through them, to speak through them. I had a conversation with a brother recently, and something that was mentioned some time ago, you know, and this is something that was mentioned several times. And the idea was that the Mure, or the brothers, they hear. You know, in other words, the thought was, well, the only reason they're saying these things is because you're saying it. Or there was a time, the only reason that we're saying these things is because Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel said it. And sometimes when you sit back and you think, and if you really take a look at the word, aren't we all parroting? Isn't that the intent and purpose of Ruach HaKodesh? So if I'm saying something that Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel taught, and Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel is being moved by the Holy Spirit, so am I parroting Gershom Ben Daniel, or am I parroting Yahushua HaMashiach? Because it's not my word. It wasn't Rabbi's word. It's none of the Mure's word. It's not our word. It's not your word. It is the word of Yahushua HaMashiach. And he was given that word from Abba. He himself said, I can only do what I see Abba do. I can only speak what Abba gives me to speak. So this whole idea about parroting the word is exactly what we're supposed to do. Just like Brother Shaul said, follow after me as I follow after Mashiach. And I say all of that because when you hear the Mureh teach, and it be explained numerous times, that we don't talk to each other in regard to preparation of lessons. And we don't. We don't get together and conspire to bring out teachings that seem like we're talking about the same points. so that you all in the listening audience hears it and are being misled to believe that this is the Holy Spirit's work. This is not what's going on. But in actuality, it is the Holy Spirit's work. And one of the things that I've learned to do is to listen to the Murray, because you know what I find? Confirmation. Because sometimes I need to know that I am moving in the direction that the Creator wants me to move in. So I listen for him. I listen for his voice. And I've heard his voice numerous times through the Mure, giving me the confirmation, keep going forward. I had a talk with a couple of brothers, and I want to thank my brothers, you know, those who do call, those who do check on me. Because I'd be on an emotional roller coaster, trust. I know it's been 7 months, but it's still difficult. But Abba got this. I trust that Abba got this. And when I get calls from my brother, my brothers, you know, I had the opportunity to spend a little time with Murray Shaba'al this week. We had a good talk, good conversation. As always, I don't think I've ever talked to a brother and not have a good conversation, because at some point in that conversation, you already know what we're going to talk about. It's that word. It's what connects us. But just having that opportunity to spend with him, he confirmed some things for me. Then I got a call from Murray Chanik'al down in Houston. You know, he calls weekly. Abba's moving that brother. Abba leading that brother to do what he's doing. And when I spoke to him, he confirmed for me what it is that Abba was doing and the direction that we were going. Got a chance to hang out with Murray Yara'al yesterday, just prior to Shabbat coming in. And once again, confirmation. When we encourage you all, go back and listen to these teachings. We're not just saying that because we're trying to get views. We're saying it because we have come to understand the Creator is speaking. Go back and listen. Why you think? You know what? Before I do that, would I bow once again, my brother, for letting me know that I'm coming through clearly. But let's get on with today's lesson before we get too far, okay? Topic for today, Yesh Derech Yashar Lefni Aish. Yesh Derech Yashar Lefni Aish. There's a way that seems right to a man. We're going to start off today in Matithiah, or Matthew, chapter 15 at verse 21. Which reads, then Yahushua went thence and departed into the coast of Zoar and Zidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Adonai, son of David. Daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his Talmudim came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why is Israel lost? Does being lost mean in this context? So let's look at the term. You find that in the Greek lexicon number 622, that word is apolumi, apolumi. And it is a compound word from the term apo, which is away or holy, and the term alumi, which means to destroy. So the idea is to destroy fully, okay? So the word translated as lost means to destroy fully. So let's go back for a moment. And let's read that and let's include that definition. I am not sent but into the destroyed fully sheep of the house of Israel. Because we were to understand above all things, karnet bina, he said, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, but with all thy getting, get understanding. Abba does not want us to just quote scriptures. He wants us to understand why we say the scriptures we say. And once we come to understand what this word means, you don't even have to quote the scripture anymore. You can use your own words and explain this word to someone else. You can use a variety of means to paint pictures to get people to see what it is that Abba has opened your eyes to see. Question is whether or not they will receive it. So based on this definition, once again, to destroy fully, okay? Now, there's another passage we wanted to take a look at just for a reference point. This is in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11. And it says, they have over them as king the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Now, the word Apollyon is related to the word Apollumi, which means to destroy fully. So what we want to do, we want to take that term in Hebrew or Hebrew, Abaddon, and let's take a look at that in the Hebrew lexicon. It's number 11. Number 11, it says intensively from number 6, and we'll look at that too. The word, of course, Abaddon, it says a perishing abstractly. It says a feminine noun meaning destruction. That is death. It may also mean a place of destruction. It is used extensively in wisdom literature and connotes the abode of the dead. So let's take a look at what they refer to as the wisdom literature, which includes Job, the Psalms, Proverbs, etc. Okay? So in Job chapter 28, verse 22, it says, Abaddon and Mawet. In other words, destruction and death. Used in combination again with death. If you go to Proverbs 27 verse 20, it said Sheol and Abaddon, which is the grave and destruction. Okay? So you see that in this, and these are just two examples. There are several other examples. If you do a research on the word itself, you'll see that it's coupled with death or the grave, which ties into the definition that we just read. The destruction that it is referring to connotes the abode of the dead. Bear in mind, and this is all in connection with the term lost, because Mashiach said that he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we, as Bible students, we ask the question, what do you mean by that? So goes our lesson. In Hebrew number 6 in your lexicon, the word is abad, abad. It says properly to wander away. That is lose oneself. By implication, to perish. Causatively, destroy. It is a verb meaning in a causative sense to reduce to some degree of disorder. Let me repeat that last part. To reduce to some degree of disorder. This is the word abad. Now, the word abad is used in Devarim chapter 28 and verse 63. Listen to what it says. It will happen that as Yahweh rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so Yahweh will rejoice over you to cause you to perish. That's our word abad right there. To cause you to perish. In other words, here's a question. Does this information teach that the lost sheep of the house of Israel are those reduced to some degree of disorder and still under the power of the grave, death, and destruction. And meditate on that. I'm going to repeat the question. Does this teach that the lost sheep of the house of Israel are those reduced to some degree of disorder and still under the power of the grave, death, and destruction? Think about that. Why would they still be under the condition or the power of the grave, death, and destruction? Now take your mind to some of the writings of Brother Shaul and the point that he was trying to make. How the carnal mind is enmity, right, against the Most High. And do you know why the carnal mind is enmity? He says, for it is not subject to the Torah of Elohim, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. So now we have a connection, because to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. Do we believe that word? Do we receive what the word is teaching us? Sure, I know that Yahweh, y'all know the word. But Abba don't just want us to know what it says. He wants us to understand. He wants us to be able to, by his spirit, go through that word and be able to weave that word together so that we can form that garment of righteousness, that covering for sin, if you will. But in order for us to do that, we got to believe. You see? Let's continue. Let's go to another passage. Let's go to Daniel. Chapter 7, verse 25, and we've looked at this passage numerous times, right? Listen to what it says. And he shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, we want to stop right there. We know the rest. But our focal point today is not the remaining part of the verse. It's what he says here. And shall wear out. What does he mean by that? So let's take a look. In the Hebrew lexicon, number 1080 is the strong number. That word is belah, belah. And it says, it's a Chaldee term or Aramaic corresponding to 1086. And we're going to look at that as well. And listen to this. And it has a parenthesis here because it's explaining the context of this particular term. It says, but used only in a mental sense. Think about that. See, that's why I say when I listen to the Mure, I'm listening for confirmation. So Mure Adeyal, on his last teaching, he says the next thing that he's going to be getting into when his 6 weeks comes up again is the tie with mental illness. Apparently, Abba wants us to see something. Abba wants us to understand something. Because that's not his first time talking about mental illness. He just did a segment. If you remember, the mind, body, and spirit. Y'all remember that? I believe it was Murey Arial who was also giving a message about strongholds. See? And when you think about stronghold, see, stronghold is a term that is used oftentimes in association with war. Because what you want to have is a good stronghold, such as Jericho. See, the walls of Jericho were supposed to be a good stronghold for them. But Abba teaching us something on a practical level, as Mure Yara'al has just been going through the book of Yahushua. See? And it was apparent that Abba wanted to reiterate that he is able to break down these strongholds. Because whether we accept it or not, we are engaged in warfare. I know. You get up day to day, you go to work, you go to your business, you do whatever it is that you do throughout the course of the week. You want to be caught slipping because we have adversaries at every waking moment seeking to devour us. And all they need is that little inkling. See, all they need is to find that chink in that armor. Remember, Murey Yara'al went through the armor of Elohim. Why do you think this words are going forth, man? Abba trying to prepare us. He knows what's coming. Do we accept what's coming down the pipe, as they say? Do we accept it? We see the red flags popping up. That's what we see. We see the evidence that's all around us that the word of Yah is true. What are we doing? What are we allowing to hinder us and trust? What are we allowing to hinder us? Do we believe about that word? Who do we serve? Who do you believe we serve? He says, again, number 1080, the word Balaam. It says, but used only in a mental sense. Now, the term is used, but what the definition is, to afflict. Think about that. So the fact that it says used only in a mental sense, what he's talking about, when he says, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, he's talking about afflicting us in a mental sense. In other words, he knows to attack the mind. It's the mind that has to be attacked. How you think, how you perceive. You see? See, what Abba was to do, as he brought forth in Yeshayahu or Isaiah, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways. But as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, my ways higher than your ways. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, which is the Holy Spirit, with the intent of you now receiving it. So you stop looking at the world through your eyes, through the carnal mind, but now you can see the world the way I see it. But how many of us are doing that? Or are we still linked to that carnality, which is death, we're going to see. Now, the word in 1086, bala, which is the Hebrew term, it means to fail. Think about that. By implication, to wear out. Now, the thought that Albert gave me when I was looking at this definition, for those who are into training or exercising, sometimes requires you to do it until failure. What that means is that you're going to keep doing those push-ups or you're going to keep doing those pull-ups until you can't do anymore. That's to failure. See? In other words, when we get the idea of to wear out, he's trying to get us to become fatigued. See? Question. And you answer this within yourself. How many of us at some point in time have said, I'm tired of this? How many of us have said that? Whatever it may be going on in your life, it brought you to the point where you said, I'm tired. You don't want to deal with this anymore. You don't want to have this obstacle. You don't want to have this struggle. You're tired. Think about it. Be honest with yourself. See, nobody's around. See, that's who we really are. When nobody's around, who are you when you look at that, as Michael Jackson said, man in the mirror? See, that's who we need to be asking to change their ways. We need to change. How do we change? He's given us the tools. What do you think the word is? But how many of us actually use the word? He doesn't want us playing church, man. This is supposed to be a part of our life. See, it's easy for us to say that. You know, had a conversation with a brother recently. Walking this way, the time that Abba has allowed me and privileged me to walk this way and live this lifestyle. And I, in no way, shape, or form, am perfect. I, too, am a work in progress. But I can't deny the fact that I've seen many people come through and they show the same type of enthusiasm for that word. But the question is, where are they now? Where are they now? See, where are they? See, sometimes that old serpent, he knows exactly what he needs to do with you as an individual. He knows how to push your buttons. He knows how to ruffle our feathers. He knows it. All he got to do is get inside that head. And then he has to incite those emotions, because whether we accept it or not, much of what we do is based off of how we feel about something. See? I believe it was Murray Arial who asked the question some time ago, are we able to love beyond emotions? Now, it sounds contradictory when you think about it, because a lot of people think love is an emotion. Yeah, it's a feeling, but I understood exactly what he meant when he said it. How many of us allow our anger to prevent us from being loving? How many of us allow our fear or our anxiety to prevent us from loving? Our depression, our angst, to prevent us from loving. Everybody, mostly everybody, that came through and eventually left is because their feet were stepped on. And I'll be the first to testify to you. Many days I sat in that congregation. And if you can just understand the picture that I'm about to paint, it's as if I was sitting in the front row, leaning back, chilling, with my feet in no shoes, no socks, and just stand just right out there in the pathway. And that word was coming, and it's like Rabbi was walking off of that pulpit and just with a pair of steel-toed boots on and just lifting his leg as high as his leg can go and then bringing it down with as much force as he can bring it down on my feet. Many days I had to sit in there and had to take that. Many days. I'm tired of this. Even sometimes today, I'm tired of this. I don't know you tired. When you gonna let me jump in there? Like the brother Murray Del Wild brought up. See? Confirmation. I'm listening to y'all, brothers. Trust. Like Brother Shaul said, when one speak, the other sit back and listen and judge. Why? I want to know whether or not you being led by the Most High. See? Because if you say something that he's also saying to me, wow, we on point. Because it's now being substantiated by his word. You see? But let's not get that twisted either, fam. Because that old serpent plays the same game, you know? The same technique that Abba uses is the exact same technique that that old serpent uses. And most high willing, we'll be able to talk about that later on. Okay? So think about it. You as an individual, do you ever feel tired of this life? Again, when we get to that point, it's because that old serpent is exhausting us. He knows it. Think about boxing, any type of fighting. Now, we look at those rounds, 3 minutes or so, right? Don't you know to be in a ring for 3 minutes, you got to have some endurance? If you don't build up your endurance, you're going down. That's why a lot of the training that fighters do is endurance training, because they know they got to be able to hold their own for a period of time. That's why after every 3 minutes, ding, take a breath, rejuvenate for a moment. Then they got to get right back in there, and they have to have the endurance to continue 3 more minutes. See, the same thing happens to us, but here's the thing. That old serpent ain't giving us no break. There's no time out. Wait a minute. Let me get myself together first. He ain't waiting. As soon as he sees the weak point, guess what? All out attack. But we got to be prepared for that. See? So what I did, what Abba led me to do, and forgive me because I keep saying I, let me look up fatigue. See? Symptoms of fatigue. And I just want to touch on a few of them, especially the ones that deal with what we go through mentally. You know, when a person is fatigued, they have slow reflexes and responses. Think about that, because you're talking about mental fatigue. Think about the world today, right? Now, how is it that I'm going to say maybe 50 years or more ago, right? How is it that what was once deemed as a psychological disorder, and I'm talking about the alphabet people lifestyle, that was viewed as a psychological disorder. But what happened? You get enough alphabet people together, send them to the schools, they get their degrees, and they become now the PhDs. And the doctors of psychiatry or doctors of psychology, and they get these positions where they're decision makers. Now, guess what? They're going to wear the people out with justifications on why this lifestyle is not a psychological disorder, so much so they eventually change it in the DSM. Society has been worn out by it. Think about it. And I'm not going to jump on that high horse or beat that dead horse is what I meant to say, not jump on that high horse, beat that dead horse. But I'm just using that as an example to make a point that adversary wears us out mentally. So we have slow reflexes and responses eventually. We have impaired decision-making and judgment. We have moodiness and irritability. Think about that. All it takes is for, you know, you often see the example of somebody pointing their finger into their hand. And what that's supposed to mean, that somebody's aggravating you. Now, just imagine something like that going on all the time, nonstop. What is going to happen to you mentally, emotionally, spiritually? This is what the adversary does, and he doesn't stop. He doesn't give you a break. He doesn't give you a time out. He doesn't wait for you to get yourself together to get back into the fight. So he's constantly, constantly attacking. What do we do? We feel tired. See? Now, keep in mind, these symptoms of fatigue are examples of what happens to us as a consequence of mental affliction. Because the battle is real, like you said, for our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. It's not. Everybody wants to focus on the white man. It ain't the white man. It never has been the white man. It's been the man behind the curtain. And when I say the man behind the curtain, I'm not talking about the elite. I'm not talking about the 1%. I'm talking about the principalities against the power, against the world's rulers of the darkness of this age and the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's the man behind the curtain. It's not other people. The white man is a victim of the adversary. Every human being on this planet is a victim of the adversary, even us. Victims. He says, therefore, put on the whole armor of Elohim that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. You see, how do we get past the attacks constantly given by the adversary? Armor up. That's how. How do we armor up? It's his word. So the adversary had the technique for that. Now we're talking about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We're going to keep things on point. So can we say that the saints that are suffering from a condition of being afflicted mentally or spiritually, think about that, that's lost. The lost sheep of the house of Israel are those saints suffering from a condition of being afflicted mentally or spiritually. Think about it. Meditate on that. Okay? Because one of the things that we're also learning, everything takes place in a process. They didn't just accept alphabet people lifestyle overnight. It was a process. They had to chip away, and eventually they got the change that they were fighting for. They kept chipping away and chipping away and chipping away. Now we have to accept that this man is a woman or this woman is a man. And they keep chipping away and chipping away and chipping away. Now it is somewhat of a crime to profess heterosexuality. You mean it's wrong for me as a man to be attracted to a woman? And to be specific, that I don't want a transgender woman, a man who stay here woman. I want an actual biological woman, and that's a crime now? I'm wrong for saying that now? The world we're living in. Chip away. Check. And some people, they just throw their hands up and say, to each his own. No, not to each his own. There's an order, and the adversary is constantly upsetting it. We see the words of Yeshayahu being played out, how they're calling evil good and good evil, how they're making light darkness and darkness light. We see it. We don't have to guess about it. It is happening right before our face. We don't have to make it up. It's on the news. Nationally, internationally. It's on your TV shows. It's in your music. It's in your books. It's been in your books. It's there. Under attack. Right? So our message today, word that Abba had given. Yes, derech yasar lefni aish wacharita ahe mawet. There's a way which seems right to a man. But in the end, its way is death. Now, we touched on a couple things on the route, but here's something I want you to think about. When something is doubled in Torah, is this Yahweh's way? Let me ask the question again. When something is doubled in Torah, is this Yahweh's way to emphasize what is being stated? So when you hear this passage, there is a way which seems right to a man, but in the end, its way is death. Now, that's written twice in Mishlei or Proverbs. You find it in chapter 14, verse 12, chapter 16, verse 25. What does Yahweh teach us from this passage? So let's go to number 3477 in your Hebrew lexicon. The word translated as which seems right comes from the word yashar, yashar. And it is derived from number 3474, and we'll look at that too. It simply means straight, literally or figuratively. It's an adjective meaning straight, just, right. This word can refer to something physical, such as a path. Excuse me, think about that. But it more often means right in an ethical or an emotional sense, as agreeable or pleasing. The word in 3474, pronounced slightly different, yashar, yashar, to be straight or even, figuratively, to be right, causatively, to make right, pleasant or prosperous. It is a verb meaning to be straight, to be upright, to be smooth, to be pleasing. When it means straight, it applies in a physical and an ethical sense, as in straightforward. So the next word we want to look up is the term straightforward, which can be defined as honest and frank, free from ambiguity or pretense, plain and open, easy to accomplish, identify, or understand, not complicated, uncertain, or involved, proceeding in a straight course, direct. Okay? Now think about this. Everything said in a straightforward manner or believed to be straightforward isn't necessarily correct. Think about that. So now let's make a contrast. So what we're dealing with, there is a way which seems right to a man, right? Now, when it says to a man, another specification that needs to be made is this. Once again, going back to something that Brother Shaul touched on, all right? And I believe that we just went through this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. And it says, but the natural man receives not the things of the spirit of Elohim, for they are foolishness to him. Okay? He's talking about the natural man, right? So when it says, again, there is a way which seems right to a man, but in the end its way is best, what we now as Bible students, Bible believers need to do, open our minds. Let's not leave that there. Let's open our minds, allow Abba by his spirit to make some connection for us now, because when he says a man, he is talking about a natural man. He's talking about a man who is still functioning in the carnal mind. This is what he's talking about, okay? So now this is said twice. So he's added emphasis to this. There's a way which seems right to a man, but in its end, its way is death. So now we want to contrast it to something that we talked about several weeks ago when we went through Yahushua very briefly. But we just wanted to show that when Yahushua, then Nun, was taken off the scene, something happened with Israel. See? So we were in Shofatim, or Judges, if you remember. And the passages that we focused on there too, once again, doubling down. You find it in Judges chapter 17, verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did that which was yashar in his own eyes. And he repeats the exact same thing in Judges chapter 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did that which was straightforward in his own eyes. Do we understand that? Abba talking, he said the one thing twice. He said the other thing twice. Question is, are we getting the message? Sent me a video, and it's good that you have Israelites talking about coming together and unifying. But here's the question, because something that was said in that video, and I haven't finished it, I haven't listened to the whole video, I just got up to a point. Something that was said, the brother mentioned several points of division. Several points of division. And also said during the time of Yahushua, there was division, which we understand that. We just went through the story about Yahushua in Matthew and Marcos and Lucas and Johannes. We went through that. We know that there were Pharisees or Pharisees who were in disagreement with what Mashiach taught. We know that the Zadokim or the Sadducees, they didn't see eye to eye with the Pharisees. We know that. And we learn from outside sources about another group called the Essenes who disagreed with the Pharisees and with the Sadducees. But the point that the brother was making is that, well, see, Israel always has some point of division. And you're absolutely right. Israel has always been divided. That is a problem. Because we shouldn't be. How are we going to come together? What's the intent and purpose of us coming together? Is it just for us to say that we all Hebrews and Israelites and black Jews and we just want to acknowledge each other as being Hebrews, Israelites, and black Jews, and after this conference, everybody go back to keeping that lunar Sabbath? Everybody go back to say we don't have to keep the feast when we're in the land of our captivity? Everybody go back to not believing you have to add an extra month vision. If you're coming together, you're supposed to be coming together so that everybody starts to keep the lunar Sabbath. Or everybody believes that we're not supposed to keep these feasts because we're in the land of our captivity. Or everybody believes that you don't have to add a 13th month. And now we're in sync. Now we're unified, not just to say, well, we all Hebrews and Israelites and black Jews. For what? Furthermore, it ain't about us accepting one another. You want true unification? See, I love the unification service we was having. I wanted it. You don't know how much. And we talk about that later. Abba willing. I wanted that. I love seeing all these people together. More people than in this congregation. All Israelites. But if we all come together, have different beliefs, and we all lead, and we all keeping those beliefs, are we really united? And furthermore, going back to the question, what are we uniting for? Who are we uniting with? See, the problem is not us agreeing to work together in spite of our differences, agreeing to disagree. No, if you as an individual unite with the Creator, and I as an individual unite with the Creator, and everybody unites with the Creator, guess what? We all going to believe the exact same thing. Not differences. That's the problem. Everybody has something that's right in their own eyes, and they don't see it. Maybe we wrong, too. I pray for correction. I hate it to be wrong, but I'd rather be right. I'd rather be right. Because once you have been corrected, whatever you've done wrong, guess what? I ain't thinking about that anymore. Because from henceforth, guess what? You're going to be walking according to his will. But you have to be made aware of what you're doing wrong. I want that. I'm sure all of you do, too. Word says a righteous man loves correction. Well, brother, you just said you hate it because I'm being honest with myself. As a human being, I don't like to be corrected because I feel, already feel inferior. I already feel that way. I am nothing. The dust of this earth, that's what I am. That's the attack of that old serpent with me. That's my personal struggle. So I can admit that. But I want it. I'm not going to like it. Because now there's something else I'm wrong about. You know how humiliating that is? To have to come back and correct something? You know how many times I've, and somebody said that. one of the Mure. See, and from my understanding, when I'm of the assumption, because I haven't talked to anybody since this was before, apparently many of the Mure had to be talked off the ledge, so to speak. And I'm not talking about in a suicidal context. I'm talking about in the stepping down and not wanting to do this anymore because I'm tired context. You know how many times I had to be tossed off the ledge by my Isha? Y'all don't know how much of a help she was to me. Now, Abba just tossed me off the ledge itself because he knows my heart. But that's right, because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. I don't deny that. I'm human. But he also sees something else. One day I'm going to share a story with y'all. Abba willing, but he also sees something else. And that's what I mean, seeing the way Abba sees. I'm going to share it with y'all now. Something I told my wife years ago, and I said this numerous times. When I seen her, I said, I see an innocence in you. That's how I saw her. I always saw her as that little girl that I fell in love with. But sometimes I didn't see her that way. And when I didn't see her that way, that's when I reacted negatively. And when I reacted negatively, and then I start to see her that way again, then this is where all the letters come from. I wrote a whole bunch of letters. But you know what Albert helped me to see recently? What he helped me to see is this. He said, number one, son, that wasn't you seeing your wife as being innocent. Because me, I'm thinking it's me. I see an innocence about you. He said, no, son, that's me. He said, what I allowed you to do, I allowed you to see her the way I see her so you don't focus on all of the faults and the flaws and things like that. Told me. All this time I'm thinking I'm seeing her this way. He said, no, it's not you. It's me helping you to see her that way. And you know what? He said, you remember your rabbi told you that you want to see? I said, yeah, I remember that. He said, son, do you believe my word? I said, yeah, I believe your word. Don't you know that in my word that I say, I see your thoughts afar? I said, yeah. See, when people see that, they don't realize how afar off I see your thoughts. I knew you wanted this young lady. I knew that there was a love there. But I also know you. And in order for you to be used by me, I had to intervene. Why do you think she came to your house? Why do you think your aunt happened to run across her? That's me. Why do you think you told her that regardless of what you do, I'm always going to love you? Because, son, that's me. You wanted something from me. I know you wanted something from me before you even asked me for it. And I set the ball in motion to get you to this point so that you can be used. I know that you want a mind. But here's your problem, son. You don't believe it. And that's what I struggle with. Like the brother said, really? You know, somebody shared that with me recently. Really? Me? I ain't nothing. I ain't been the best at nothing. Nothing. You know, I look at my brothers and say, they would be better leaders than me. I'm not the typical alpha male. I had a problem with that. But this is what Abba had to help me to see. Man. didn't think you can do the job, trust, you wouldn't have been given the position. But I get so focused, and I'm talking about me, on what other people see. You know, and it was said to me some time ago, you don't have no authority. And you're right, I don't. I don't have any authority. But here's the truth of the matter. What person does? It's the Creator who has the authority, and whomsoever he chooses. Y'all don't know how hurt I was when Rabbi died. I just wanted to see what I was going to do. That's all I wanted. If I could just be a flower in the wall when he do what I gave him to do. I just wanted to experience all the things that I heard about. You know, when him and Zakeh and Eliezer get together talking about the old days and when he go to this place and that place and talking that word, I wanted to hear about it too. I wanted to see the manifestation of the power of the Most High. I was crushed when he died. I thought I missed my chance. I still feel that way, to be honest with you. Still feel that way. You know? But what Abba is helping us to see, people say that there is no God. Scripture says they foolish. The fool says in his heart something like this. But what Abba wants us to see individually, that I am real. And not only am I real, I am involved in your life. So what the adversary has to do, he has to dissuade us from believing that. That is the primary reason for his attacking us, to destroy our faith. Remember, before we left that hotel, one of the last teachings, and somebody brought this to my mind, the obstacles of faith. Look at the timing of that. We did not know that that was going to happen, that was going to be the last time we were going to be in a hotel. We didn't know that. But now, in retrospect, look at what I was doing. Just because y'all don't have this place, what's going to happen to y'all? I know what happened to me. Talked again with my brother yesterday about it. You know, I felt like we needed to get a place. We got to get a place. Why? Because a church has a place. Mm-mm. Brother had to bring something to my mind. Once again, confirmation. And I'm touching on some borrowed testimony. So my apologies to the brothers whose testimony it is that I'm borrowing. They were talking about that cloud moving, see? And if we believe that Abba is leading us, what we supposed to learn from the wilderness wandering, when the cloud stay put, we stay put. When the cloud move, we move. And that's all that happened. It was time for us to move. And where did we move to? We moved to the park. But we need to get a building. No, son. You need to move where I tell you to move. And I felt like we needed to get this building. We're going to get this building this year. We're going to get it this year. But then Abba did this. He sent a few people my way. And you know what they said? I really like being in that park. I really like being in that park. Well, maybe we need to be in the park. Because you know what that park symbolized to me? There's order. The Midbar. In the wilderness. And when we look at the life of Mashiach, sure, sometimes he taught in the temple. But the majority of the times, he was on the mountainside. He was on the hill. He was by the lake or by the river, out in the nature. That's where we are right now. Some people may look at that. Look at this. They worshiping and fellowshipping in a park. Don't even have the dignity to get a building. No, we don't have the dignity to get a building. Guess what? What we've come to understand, like my brother said yesterday, Mure Yava'al said this. We are the building. We are the church. We had that lesson, remember? See, y'all don't go back and listen to what I've been already revealing. Y'all so quick to jump on YouTube and listen to what everybody else got to say, not even following what your own Mure has been bringing out. That's why you got so much confusion in Bet Yahweh right now. People being tossed to and fro, not because the word is not going forward, but because you got itching ears to hear what everybody else got to say. This one doesn't make it. If you're being led and guided by Yahweh Elohim, this one doesn't make what somebody else is saying. That's always been Israel's problem and always will be. Even when Mashiach returns, you think everybody going to accept him with open arms? That ain't what they want. You think it's going to be automatically peaceful when he returns? That ain't going to happen. If that's the case, and something we were talking about recently, why does it say if Egypt doesn't come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, that I'm not going to allow it to rain? Why? Because he knows that at some point, some people still not going to submit right away. That's why I said he's going to rule with a rod of iron, and he's going to make the world submit. Everybody want to talk about what God ain't doing today, because if there's a God, how come he allowing this to happen and allowing that to happen? Watch what you ask for, because the time coming, you're going to get it. And it ain't just the things you think to be evil. It's some of the things you're doing in your life that's evil that he also going to correct. You can talk about the pedophilia and all of this foolishness all you want and all the unsolved murders and everything else that's going on in this world. Guess what? He's going to look at your fornication and your lifestyle. He's going to check that too. He's going to watch how you keep stealing from that job you're working at. He's going to check that too. Not just the things you find displeasing, but also the things that you're committing. People not thinking about it in that context. Let's keep moving, family, because I want to at least get through the majority of this lesson today. I'm willing. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29, 8 and 9. Listen to this. And we're talking about Israel, why they are lost. Because when you look at Israel today, this is exactly what you see. All these different camps, things, because everybody thinks they're doing what's right, and it's in their own eyes. It's not the eyes of the Most High that they're looking through. And I know it sounds arrogant for somebody to get up there and say that, but somebody got to say it. Who else going to say it? Israel just focusing on coming together in spite of the differences. No, Israel got to come together to dismiss the differences if we believe what the words say. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim. Ain't that what Brother Shaul started off saying? Dealing with that division by the name of Adonai, Yahusha, HaMashiach. Right? He said that you all speak same thing. Now, you ask any brother in the congregation a question, the answer should be the same. They may take you a different pathway to get to that answer, but the answer should be the same. I should not be asking somebody in Israel a question about the Sabbath, and somebody say, well, the Sabbath is based on keeping it according to the lunar, or somebody say, well, you know, we don't really have to keep the Sabbath because we're in the land of our captivity, and somebody say, well, you understand? That's not the Creator Spirit. So somebody is not being moved by his spirit. That has to be called out. Not just accepted just for the sake of saying we are Hebrews, Israelites, or black Jews. It don't work that way. Be no divisions among you. Why do you think he's writing that? He's trying to keep things in order. And everybody just want to get together just for the sake of getting together. No, unify with Mashiach. He will order it. But people don't want to do that. You know why? Because nobody wants to admit, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. He said, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind. What mind? Let this mind be in you. Ain't that what he said? Let this mind be in you. See, if you speak of something contrary one to another, what mind is in there? He says, for you are still carnal, where there is envy, strife, and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? That's the problem with Israel today. Everybody think it's right in their own eyes, and nobody wants to link up with the Mashiach to get on the right page and have the same mind and have the same judgment. Somebody got to tell them that. And Abba, wherever we need to be corrected, we pray that you send correction so that we all be on the same page. And we have to question why we have issues with certain teaching, certain doctrine. Is it because it's wrong, or is it because you have a personal belief about this thing? See? Is it because it's incorrect, or is it because you feel some kind of way? See, think about why he said he sent Eliyahu Hanavi. Why? You had the 400 prophets and the 450 prophets. You add that together, you have 850 prophets that's contrary to the ways of the Most High, and you have this one man representing the Most High. What is he teaching our family? Why he give us that example? And I'm talking about Israel having 850 prophets. Israel versus the one. Israel listening to 850 different voices instead of the one voice who we know and understand speaks for the Most High. Think about that, and then look at the question you ask. How long y'all going to keep jumping back and forth between y'all opinions? See? You can go through social media enough. Everybody has an opinion about how they believe this should be. Everybody has their opinions. So he's sending the prophet specifically to deal with that. And he showed us how he's going to deal with it, too. But let's continue. Let's go back to Jeremiah. That's where we were going. We're just going to look through a few passages. And we get through what we get through. And I pray that everybody is at least hearing what it is that I was saying thus far. So Jeremiah 29, verses 8 and 9. Listen to what he says. For Yahweh Zevaot, the mighty one of Israel, says, don't let your prophets who are among you and your diviners deceive you. Don't listen to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name, them, said Yahweh. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the Talmudim came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? What is the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Yahusha answered them, be careful that no one leads you astray. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, Brother Shaul writes, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of Elohim upon the children of disobedience. You hear that? So these are three passages of warning against false prophets being led astray and being deceived by vain words, because the Almighty knew this is going to be Israel's problem. So he warned against it. So let's go to Hosea, which is a prophet of Israel, Bet Israel, the house of Israel. He prophesied during the time of Jeroboam II and his last years, and he was contemporary with Uzziah, who was the king of Bet Yehuda, or the house of Judah, and his prophecy ended at the beginning of Hezekiah's reign. All right? So let's go to Hosea chapter 4. Let's look at, start at verse 1. Let's go through a few things now. Hear Yahweh's word, you sons of Israel. For Yahweh has a charge against the inhabitants of the land. Indeed, there is no truth, nor goodness, nor knowledge of Elohim in the land. Cursing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break boundaries, and bloodshed causes bloodshed. Sound like the hood, don't it? Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells therein will waste away. All living things in her, even the animals of the field and the birds of the sky, yes, the fish of the sea also die. Yet, let no man bring a charge, neither let any man accuse, for your people are like those who bring charges against the priest. You will stumble in the day, and the prophet will also stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed. Stop right there for a minute. Let's look at that word destroyed. Guess where it comes from? Number 1097. Guess what that word is? Beli. Guess where it's derived from? Number 1086, the word we looked at earlier. What does it mean? Properly, failure. That is nothing or destruction. In other words, my people are brought to failure. My people are brought to nothing. My people are brought to destruction. My people are destroyed for lack of. Let's look at that term, for lack of. That comes from number 1820. That word is dama. That word means to be dumb or silent. Hence, to fail or perish. Transitively, to destroy. Listen to what he said. My people are destroyed. When it says for lack of, it's saying because they have become dumb. They've become silent. Listen to that. In regard to the knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge that is referring to is the knowledge of Yahweh Elohim, which is the Torah. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected. Let's look at that word, have rejected now. That comes from number 3988. The word is ma'as. It means to spurn. Also, intransitively, to disappear. The primary meaning of this word is to reject or treat as loathsome. Listen to that. To reject or treat as loathsome. So my people are brought to failure because they are silent to the knowledge. Because you have loathed, rejected. Listen to that. Knowledge, I will also reject you, that you may be no priest to me. Because you have forgotten your Elohim's Torah, I will also forget your children. As they were multiplied, so they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people and set their heart on their iniquity. It will be like people them for their ways and will repay them for their deeds. They will eat and not have enough. They will play the prostitute and will not increase, because they have abandoned giving to Yahweh. Prostitution, wine, and new wine take away understanding. My people consult with their wooden idol and answer to a stick of wood. Indeed, the spirit of Zanun, or prostitution, has led them astray. They have been unfaithful to their Elohim. They sacrifice on the tops of the mountains and burn incense on the hills under oaks and poplars and terebinths because its shade is good. Therefore, your daughters play the prostitute and your brides commit adultery. If you look at the world today, and it's the world in general, it's not just our sisters. It's something that's across the world. But see, the fact that it exists in Israel, where Israel was given the word of the Most High, and Israel is not adhering to the word of the Most High, that's a problem. That is a problem. He says, let's go to Devarim. That's to tie some things in. He says, these, and this is That's Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. These are the statutes and the ordinances which you shall observe to do in the land which Yahweh, mighty one of your fathers, has given you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. You shall surely destroy all the places in which the nations that you shall dispossess serve their Elohim, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. So what he said, they're supposed to destroy these things, right? We just went through, or we're going through, the book of Yahushua. Okay? And we're saying when they're going into these nations, and what's happening, Israel is not destroying all these nations. And what happens as a result of that, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 17, starting at verse 9. He says, the sons of Israel secretly did things that were not right against Yahweh the Elohim. And they built high places for themselves in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fortified city. And they set up for themselves pillars and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burned incense in all the high places as the nations whom Yahweh carried away before them did. And they did wicked things to provoke Yahweh to anger. And they served idols, of which Yahweh has said to them, you shall not do this thing. So one of the things, listening to that, some of you may hear this and you say, you know what? Israel isn't serving idols today. Let me tell you something. If they're keeping the Sabbath at a time frame when the Most High didn't say it, why are they doing that? That's idolatry. If they're not observing the festival according to the time frame that the Most High gave them, that is idolatry. If they are not calling on the name that Yahweh gave to himself, they are committing idolatry. You don't have to have a god of wood or a god of stone. But when you look at the doctrine of the people, and the doctrine have now been interwoven into the Bible, and they're practicing what has been interwoven into the Bible, you are not practicing what the Word teaches. You are practicing idolatry. How do we know that? He said, don't add anything to my Word. Don't take anything away from my Word. So when we add something to the Word, guess what? It is not our Word anymore. When we take something away from the Word, guess what? It is not our Word anymore. It's been tainted. It's been polluted because everybody is doing what's right in their own eyes. Israel will never come together as long as people do that and not be connected to the Most High. That's where the true unification comes. Isn't that what the words say? By one spirit, see, that's the connection. We are immersed or baptized into one body. That's the word. That's the unification. But what that teaches us is this. Everybody does not have the Holy Spirit. Because if you teach it according to the Holy Spirit, guess what? The Holy Spirit, as Mashiach said, will lead and guide you to, and what is truth? Thy word is truth. That's what he said. I didn't write it, like old rabbi used to say. I didn't put that there. I didn't come to your house in the middle of the night and put that scripture in that book for you. It's always been there. But see, what has to happen now, Abba got to open up our eyes so that we can see what it's really saying. See, Abba got to open up our ears so that we can hear when that spirit is revealing. And unfortunately, family, whether you want to accept it or not, I don't care if you call yourself a Hebrew Israelite or whatever, everybody's not getting that. Because the adversary knew that we were coming. He knows this. So what he had to do, set up a decoy. You see? And he didn't just set up one decoy. He set up decoys. How do we know that? Because you got several camps, and they do not agree. The one thing they agree on, that the Israelites was black. That's one thing that they agree on. Israelites was black. But everything else, they don't all agree. We don't even know what to call the Most High. Good as a touch of grammar. I came across this video, and, you know, somebody said, well, the true pronunciation of the tetragrammaton was lost. Hold up, pump the brakes. Do you even believe in the Bible? Because see, here's the thing. If we believe in what the words say, here's the question. Is the Creator still revealed? Is the Creator still given the Holy Spirit? Because if the Creator is not, guess what? What are we doing? You think the Creator, and this is one of the problems with a lot of Israelites, they want to come together, and we want to come together. We want to have, you know, this group, and we want to discuss the word. We want to go back and forth, and we want to come to an understanding by just throwing ideas back and forth. No, that's not how it was. If you read in your Bible, the scripture says, Yahweh spoke unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the sons of Israel and tell them this. And then in another place, he said, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, and he tells them what to say, and then the prophet in turn goes and tells the people. That's how it works. It ain't us coming together and we going to, you know, kick around some ideas and going to come up with what this is we're supposed to do. So now we agree that, you know, based on the information that we've been coming up with, we're supposed to keep the Sabbath based on the phases of the moon. So now you got a big entourage that's keeping the Sabbath that way because enough people got together, came to the agreement, this is how it's supposed to be. And guess what? You are leading people astray. I don't care whether you accept it or not. Because one of the things that Abba said, see, if you are a servant of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and he chose you, he called you, he put a word in your mouth and told you to speak that word, one of the things he said you're supposed to do, be a watchman. See? That Yahweh, do you appreciate the watchman Abba set over you? Appreciate it. The Creator got to be real. If the Creator that we read in that Bible is real, everything that we read, he's got to have somebody that speaks for him. Somebody in this world has to be speaking the truth. If somebody's not speaking the truth, how can Revelation say, come out of her, my people? Come out of what? What are we supposed to come out of? And what are we supposed to come into? Something has to be available for us that is connected to the Most High, that is established by the Most High. Something has to exist. If it doesn't exist, what are we doing this for? What are we doing? There has to be an absolute truth. It's not left up to us. It's not relative. It's not based on what we believe. How many people actually believe that? Everybody believes that. Everybody believes their way is the right way. Everybody is just as passionate about teaching what they believe. You go to any other congregation, whatever doctrine they teach, you're going to hear men. And in some places, you're going to hear women speak with the same passion. But somebody is teaching wrong. Somebody is not being led by the Spirit of the Most High. Somebody's being led by the seed of the serpent. Why do you think these lessons come forth? Just to take up some time to say, well, I did my task. I listened to the blog talk on the evening and the blog talk in the morning, and I'm going to listen to the conference call, and my task is done. That's so you can hear it? Is that what we're doing? Are these words not being spoken so that we at some point can apply these words? And another problem, you got to listen. And the brother always, the Murray. If you have a question, ask your question. If you have a question, ask your question. Nobody asks your questions. But I'd rather go listen to this over here. You see? I'd rather be a part of this entourage over there because they got a whole bunch of people. Look at them marching up the streets. And they all have on the same guard. Oh, they unified, brother. They like an army. That's who I want to be with. Go. But you know what the Torah say? The Torah say not to follow a majority to do evil. Or it's actually said multitude. But multitude, majority, same thought. So we're basing it on the amount of people it is now, right? Okay, that's fine. Based on the amount of people that you see. You know what Mashiach said? He said, wide and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And guess what? It's going to be a whole bunch of people on that pathway. a whole bunch of them. That's the way you want to go? Go right ahead. Choose what you desire. I don't have a problem giving you what you pick. I don't have that problem. I would like you to choose another way, see, because there's a straight and there's a narrow way. But you know what? This way, it's going to take a little more effort, see? It may not be as straightforward as you like it to be, see? It may not be as easy as you'd like it to be, because, see, it's narrow. That means you may have to put a little more effort to get in there. It's straight, meaning that it's difficult. You may have to put a little more effort to walk this way. But here's the other part of it. It's only going to be a few people that find it. You got to search for it. So how do you search for it? You don't search for it with the physical eye. You search for it with your heart. See? Seek Yahweh while he may be found. Call upon him while he is yet near. How do we do that? Those who seek me with their whole heart. The heart. Go through a few more passages. Got a few more minutes, man. Let's just finish out this last passage in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 14, which reads, I will not punish your daughters when they play the prostitute, nor your brides when they commit adultery, because the men consult with prostitutes and they sacrifice with the shrine prostitute, so the people without understanding will come to ruin. So this is part of the prophecy that Hosea was given. Now we want to look at Amos, which is another prophet of Beth Yehuda, but he was sent to Beth Yisrael, okay? And this was during the 15th year of Uzziah, king of Yehuda, when Jeroboam II, the king of Beth Yisrael, had died. So Amos was, to some degree, contemporary with Hosea. Now, this is the word that was given to Amos. He says in chapter 5, verse 18, woe to you who desire the day of Yahweh. And think about that question. See, people, they long for the day of the Most High to return, you know, and in their mind, imagine now, just for example, say, a Christian longing for the day of the Most High, what they would call the day of the Lord, right? Believing everything that they believe in, rejecting Yahushua because they prefer Jesus, rejecting the Torah because we're not under the law, we're under grace, but at the same time longing for the day of the Lord, or the day of Yahweh, right? Woe to you who desire the day of Yahweh. Why do you long for the day of Yahweh? It is darkness and not light. As if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. That's a mad. Look at the picture that the prophets are painting for us. Or he went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a snake bit him. Won't the day of Yahweh be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it? And he's saying this, keep in mind, he is a prophet sent to Israel. And he's saying these things because he knows Israel's heart. He knows that there's no dedication to the Most High. But they deceived. Listen to what he's saying. Verse 21, I despise your feast, and I can't stand your solemn assemblies. Yes, though you offer me your burnt offerings and meal offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat animals. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. See, what we're learning here, even if you think you're doing these things in honor of the Most High, if you're outside of his will, he does not accept them. Doesn't accept your praise. Doesn't accept your worship. Doesn't accept your sacrifice. If you're outside of his will, this is what he's teaching us. Let's go to Amos chapter 8, let's start at verse 1. It says, thus Adonai Yahweh showed me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then Yahweh said to me, the end has come on my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. The songs of the temple will be wailing in that day, said Adonai Yahweh. And the dead bodies will be many. In every place they will throw them out with sound. Hear this, you who desire to swallow up the needy and cause the poor of the land to fail. Now, he talks about things Israel did to their own people. Keep that in mind. Saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell grain and the Sabbath that we may market wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large and dealing falsely with balances of deceit? This is our forefathers, man. Verse 6, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes and sell the sweepings with the wheat. Yahweh has sworn by the pride of Yaakov, surely I will never forget any of their work. The land trembled for this, and everyone mourned who dwells in it. Yes, it will rise up wholly like the river, and it will be stirred up and sink again like the river of Mitzrayim. It will happen in that day, says Adonai Yahweh, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. And I will make you wear sackcloth on all your bodies and baldness on every head. I will make it like the morning for an only son, and its end like a bitter day. Behold, the days come, says Adonai Yahweh, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing Yahweh's words. Think about that. A famine of hearing Yahweh's words. Now let's talk a little bit just about this word, Shema. 8085, right? The word means to hear intelligently, often with implication of attention, obedience, etc. The verb basically means to hear, and in context expresses various connotations of this. The most famous use of this word is to introduce the Shema, hear, O Israel, of what the Israelites ought to understand about Yahweh, their mighty one, and how they ought to respond to him. In a parallel usage, the heavens are commanded to hear, O heavens, to the prophet's message about Israel. Now, what's interesting is the parent root of this word, which is the Shin and the Mem, which we understand, that's Shin. But let's understand now, what's the connection? It means listening with the breath. Listen to that. You know why? Because those of you who are hearing my voice, guess what you're hearing? You're hearing my breath. You're hearing my spirit. It's my voice. We all make it into the kingdom together. When you hear me speak in the kingdom, when I hear you speak in the kingdom, guess what? You hearing the spirit, the voice. We're able to hear. Right? Sound is spirit. So listen with the breath. In other words, listen with your spirit. See? You know, you heard people say, in one ear, out the other ear? Right? You hear some people say, and it could be one way or the other, they say, yeah, you listening, but you're not really hearing me. Or they may say, yeah, you hearing me, but you're not really listening, one way or the other. But the intent is this, you know, I'm saying words to you. You're hearing what it is that I'm saying, but you're not listening with your spirit. In other words, you're not hearing intelligently. You're not really attentive to what it is that I'm saying, to the point now when you get this word that I'm giving to you, it is your responsibility to obey what I've said. See? So when you think about Shema, listening with the breath, now keep in mind, several times Mashiach said this. In the Gospels, you hear him say it. And in Revelation, you hear him say, he said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the assembly. They take on a little different meaning now. See, Shema Israel, he that has an ear, let him hear. Shema Israel, he that has an ear, let him hear. Listen with your breath. Listen with your spirit. Israel ain't doing that. And not everybody think what's right is what they see in their own eyes. And that's the problem. And will continue to be the problem. Let's finish this up in Amos chapter 8. We'll pick up in verse 11. Behold, the days come, says Adonai Yahweh, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing Yahweh's words. They will wander, listen to what he's saying, verse 12, they will wander from sea to sea, and from the north they will run back and forth to seek Yahweh's word and will not find it. You hear that? You know why? Because there's few there be that find it. That's his word. I ain't make this up. I would just point you in the direction to go, and then he opens it. That's what I would do. He says, in that day, the beautiful virgins and the young men will faint for thirst. Those who swear by the sin of Samaria, or Shomron is the actual name, not Samaria, Shomron. What is the sin of Shomron? You go to Hosea chapter 8 and verse 5, up a few verses. It says, let Samaria or Shomron throw out his calf idol. See? He says, verse 14, those who swear by the sin of Shomron and say, as your God, Don, lives. See? You go back to 1 Kings chapter 12 and 28 and 29. Listen to this. It says, and y'all remember this because we've been through it. So the king took counsel. This is the first Jeroboam. And made two calves of gold. And he said to them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Look, and behold your gods, Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Mitzrayim. And he set the one in Bethel, which is Shomron, and the other he put in Dan. You hear that? Why, Abba? Why you put that story in there? Why is it important that we read through this narrative? Why? Look at Israel today. Is Israel worshiping the mighty one of the heavens, the creator? Or are they worshiping one of the idols that was set up? Think about it. He says, we're almost done. Verse 5. Verse 14. Those who swear by the sin of Shomron and say, as your God, Don, lives, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they will fall and never rise up again. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost sheep. Okay? There's a reason behind why Mashiach said that. That's who he's coming for. And when you think about that's who he's coming for, right? That's who he's coming for. He says, I am come not but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The message that is going forth in these last days is a message directed to Israel so that Israel at least be shown the truth. He says to tell them, whether they hear, whether they forbear, we only need to tell them. Some will accept, some will reject. We only need to tell them. Beshem Yahusha HaMashiach, Abba, in the name of your Son, our Savior, Redeemer, and our soon coming King, we pray that you uplift our heart, our mind, lead and guide us by your Spirit. Engrave upon our being your word. Help us to understand what was brought forth this day, that we be united with you through your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer. We ask these things humbly and sincerely for the forgiveness of our sins, for the cleansing by the blood of Yahushua, and for strength to be obedient to all that you have commanded. Blessed are you, Yahushua HaMashiach, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are righteous and true. Trustworthy are you, Yahusha, our power, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are a mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Praise, glory, and honor be to your holy and to your most precious name. Family, I'm done for this setting. I will willing, I'll be able to see you all at the park under the clouds. B'Shem Yahushua HaMashiach. Shabbat Shalom.
Yada, 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 yada